FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and you know, we cover a lot of different trends on the show. We've been ahead of blockchain. We've been ahead a lot of trends that have taken place. The nationalistic trend, the deglobalization trend, all of these things. A lot of times we get people on who've got opinions about different things. It's unusual to get somebody on who is a true visionary, who has an insight into the future that you just don't find very often. We're really blessed. New sponsor and a person who really is at the cutting edge of so many trends that I can't even keep track of them. His name is Anthony Lacovara. Anthony, you're founder and chairman of Global Live, and we're thrilled to have you on the show.
Carrie, thanks for having me on.
So you've always had a particular bent, a particular way of looking at things. I mean, look, in 98, you started out with a $25,000 small business loan from Royal Bank of Canada, and you created software to help hotels and hospitals reduce their communications costs. And, you know, this turned into like an amazing company. How did you know at that point that you were onto something?
I think, Carrie, we've always taken the approach of figuring out how do we make software usable as quickly as possible? How do we get it in the market and solve a practical problem as quickly as possible and then grow the business relationship we build from there? And so that's a great example. That's where we started, is in hotels and hospitals, as you mentioned. And it was really all about figuring out how we could help hotels and hospitals, particularly hospitals, reduce telecommunications costs. And so in the late 90s, it was about long distance, and it was about the start long distance, which we, you know, was the thing of the past these days, but yeah, at the time was very expensive.
Yeah, I remember.
and of course, it was the early days of internet, and internet was very expensive. And so we wrote some software that allowed us to aggregate bandwidth and call minutes from major carriers and then sell them at lower cost into hotels and hospitals. And we took over management of phone systems in those properties so that they could avoid the internal costs of managing and maintaining them. And you know, that was a really successful business. That software was, you know, we had that business operating for better part of 16 years. I just actually sold it back in 2016 after an 18-year run of you know, bringing costs down in the hot hotel and hospital environment.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was once you had the infrastructure in, once you were set up, major cash cow, and then you didn't just rest on your laurels. You founded the wireless carrier Wind Mobile. You served as chairman and CEO from 08 to 15, and that was acquired by Shaw for over $1 billion back in December of 15. I mean, you've been at the cutting edge of these trends, and now we're at the point where these trends have like split up into other major trends. They've propagated, if you will. And there's a number of them that you are focusing in on now, both personally and as chairman of Global Live. What do you think the top three trends are coming up here?
I think without question, Carrie, we've got what is now widely being called the fourth industrial revolution is upon us, and it's really being fueled by AI. So artificial intelligence is really going to create sweeping change throughout every corner of our economy and every corner of our society, in fact. And you know, without question, that's going to create a lot of business opportunities, and it's going to create a lot of challenges as well, as many folks often bring up. And so we think that there's an opportunity to use AI and a component of AI, a subset, if you will, of AI called machine learning, which is really all about using a bunch of historical data sets, big data sets, and we all hear about big data these days, and we can talk about what that is, but all using these big data sets as inputs to to algorithms that are now able to, using machine learning, better predict outcomes of the future. So we have one very tangible example in financial services. When you think about your consumer credit market and loans to consumers, credit card loans, home equity loans, mortgages, when you think about that industry, the biggest cost in that industry is, of course, bad debt, is people not paying their bills or not able to pay their bills, not able to service their debt. And what ends up happening is that causes costs to be increased for everybody else that is a good paying credit consumer. And so we think if we can use machine learning to look at the historical loan books of banks and other financial institutions, we look at those historical data sets, and then we turn around and say, look, in fact, this person, you know, should not get a loan. This person could take in a bigger loan. This person, you know, may have a problem in 2 years. You should watch it closely. I mean, these types of predictions using historical data have proven to be incredibly valuable. And we're on the cutting edge of rolling those technologies out.
Hey, could you imagine if before the financial crash of 08, 09, if those strategies had been in place, this trend had been in place of AI reviewing loan decisions, we might not have had a financial crisis.
I completely agree. And, you know, example, when people say, well, AI is going to displace all these jobs, is going to create all this ruin in the economy, I point people to exactly your example. Like, let's think about what happened in 2009 without AI. And the disruption in the economy when we didn't see it coming. And if we had an AI like we do today and like what Global Live is building today, we had it at that time, we may have avoided a catastrophe.
Yeah, and it was a global catastrophe. You know, it started in the U.S. and the subprime, and they said, oh, it's contained. You know, that old story, the economy is fundamentally sound. You know, that's like, you better reach for your wallet when you hear that one. And then it spread like a pandemic across the world.
It was a wild contagion, no question about it.
Yeah, amazing. So, you know, the thing is, like, AI can look at things that you've done in the past and kind of learn from it, figure, you know, using big data combined with machine learning, figure this stuff out. But what if you have a new product and, you know, what if they were saying, well, back in 08 and they had it, or 05 when things were really getting out of control. Well, what would happen if we got this stated income employee loan, meaning you're loaning money to an employee who's like a janitor of a school system and makes 25 a year, and he's stating that he made 250. I mean, imagine how we could have avoided all of that pain, and maybe the economy wouldn't have gotten as bubbly in the lead up to it, probably wouldn't have been, but we wouldn't have had the crash. I mean, it's amazing to think that technology could have prevented that.
I think you're right on, Gary. I completely agree. It could have been a completely different outcome if we were taking advantage of AI, and we're excited to be rolling it out now. And we think, you know, we can predict. In that industry, in the financial services industry, we think we can make a lot of predictions that will ultimately enhance the credit of, you know, good paying citizens and consumers, and identify those that, whether it's maliciously or bad intent, or whether it's just, you know, no fault of an individual's own, somebody who's not going to be able to, or not willing to, or not able to pay their debt. And if you can predict that in advance, you lower the cost for all the other people that are paying properly their debts. And that, you know, and in the end, bring consumer costs down and put more disposable income in everyone's pockets.
Absolutely. So yeah, it's two things. You bring the cost down, And the costs aren't just the direct write-offs. It's all the costs associated with that litigation, potential downgrading of the company's credit rating, financial Correct. Stability, all of these things that come into play. You know, it's interesting. There's a saying, the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. Yet the machines, the AI, actually does learn from history.
You know, I really like the way you just said that. I haven't heard it put that way, but it before, and that is absolutely true. The machine doesn't approach it with any bias or emotion. It's just looking at that data, right? Just looking at that historical data and saying, okay, based on all these inputs and what I can see happen before, here's what I think is going to happen next.
Yeah. And that, that can make all the difference. Just have, like we say, they have artificial intelligence. Fortunately, they don't have artificial emotions to distort the intelligence, right?
So, right on.
Yeah. So it's also fascinating. So you're into the blockchain major. That is one of the major trends, both currently, but I view it as it's really in its infancy. A few people really comprehend the magnitude of the impact of the blockchain, but you're going to combine that with AI to come up with something really unique.
Yeah, we're really excited about the potential to leverage blockchain to accelerate the benefits of AI. And when you look at blockchain, people often erroneously, mistakenly confuse it with cryptocurrencies. And of course, it's important to clarify that blockchain is just the technology that all cryptocurrencies run on. But blockchain on its own is really a new kind of database architecture that enables people that are in across the nation, across the world, to seamlessly and securely share information and exchange value without having to necessarily even know each other. And that's creating all kinds of new opportunities. But one of the things that's really exciting from our perspective is that it's creating the opportunity to improve the quality of the data sets we're talking about. So when we look at big data and big data analytics, and we look at that big data set going into a machine learning algorithm, you have that classic problem in software that is the garbage in, garbage out problem. Mm-hmm. And so we think that blockchain is an opportunity to significantly improve the quality of the data and manage that data on an ongoing basis with an audit trail, with all the benefits of blockchain, manage that data set and use a higher quality data set to better predict the outcome, make better predictions, and allow the AI to operate more, you know, not just more efficiently, but make better predictions.
Hey, and something I've noticed on the site, and if you haven't checked out the site yet, you really should. It's globallive.com. That's globallive.com. You got something here, technology tracing food from seed to shelf and using the blockchain. So when you walk into your supermarket and they say this stuff is organic, and you say, but it looks exactly like the stuff, like raspberries, same company, one side is organic, the other side isn't. How do we know that stuff didn't get mixed up? And the blockchain's going to give a solution for that.
Right on. Exactly. You know, you have this ability to trace the history of any good or service. I mean, it can be a perishable item like a berry, like you're describing, or it can be something like a piece of furniture that could be, you know, handed down from generations and the history or provenance of that item is now completely traceable by way of a blockchain. So that's like a longer term benefits of blockchain. And in the shorter term, we just got to make sure that we improve the quality of the data sets that are going into these machine learning algorithms, because no question about it that if an AI doesn't get the right, you know, the proper data, if it gets incorrect data or incomplete or fragmented data, partial information, then the predictions are not going to be good.
Yeah, exactly. It's your ability to draw conclusions from the data is only as good as the data itself. And we've seen so many examples of bad data leading to bad decisions, like the financial crisis. I don't know if you caught that movie Margin Call, but the guy is...
I sure did.
Oh, so you know what I'm talking about. The guy, the main character in the beginning is a programmer who is an aerospace engineer, and he looks at all of the loans and realizes that all these mortgage-backed securities are worthless, and that gives his bank a head start in dumping their portfolios, which I think is exactly what happened. But that's a classic example of bad data leading to bad decisions. And then somebody wakes up and say, uh-oh, we've been in a dream world here. The data does not it's not an accurate representation of reality.
Yep. So. Yeah, without question. And, you know, when times are really good and you don't have these machine learning and artificial intelligence algorithms operating, you know, it's pretty easy to get caught up in a bull market, and it's pretty easy to start overlooking like a cumulatively increasing set of warning indicators, which, you know, now in hindsight, when we look back at the financial crisis, we say, okay, well, we started to see the symptoms of the problems and the contagion in like 06, 07, in fact. And, mm-hmm. you know, it made its way through the system over 24, 30 months and before it really all just tipped over. And you know, imagine how much we could have achieved if we could have preemptively caught that, you know, in 06 and started to make policy decisions to curb, in that case, the, you know, that subprime you were referring to. Let's curb it. Just as it starts to percolate up in the system and the risk profile starts to go up and the complexity of all the derivatives that we hear about today. And again, in hindsight, it's easy to say, oh, you know, wow, should we just not have seen that coming? But, you know, when you're in it, and the market was so strong, and as it is today, you know, for that matter. Yeah. And you know, you hear all this speculation about potentially a recession or a downturn coming in the economy, but there's a whole lot of people that believe that's just, you know, the good times are going to continue. And, you know, and it'd be really interesting to start applying AI to start predicting some of these outcomes. And that's what we're focused on.
And another thing is, if we had had data and evidence and the AI in place, it would have been much harder for the politicians and the policymakers to turn their head. If you could show definite evidence, look, here's the default rate with 20% down. Here's going to be the projected default rate with 10% down. Here's the default rate when you give the guy money back, the buyer money back at the table, the closing table. Here's your default rates there. And here's going to be the ramifications of these policies. It would have been a lot harder for the Barney Franks and the Chris Dodds of the world to ignore what was so evident on an intuitive level, but really hard to prove on a factual or actual basis. It's got to have big impacts upon political decision making.
I think it's a really, really good point, Kerry. Like, this is something that you just can't ignore. When you start to have a machine saying, I just analyzed 50 million, you know, individual records, data set of that size, and we're able to, using the machine learning algorithm, apply some intelligence to that data set and say, you know what, based on these 50 million, 100 million, billion transactions, all with anonymized data, all respecting privacy and everyone's concerns with respect to privacy, can be done totally anonymized. But no human, you know, no human can process information of that magnitude. The machine can. It can take it all in and say, based on that last billion transactions, here's what the next transaction is going to look like. And it's impossible for a policymaker to ignore that. It's impossible to say that perspective isn't of significant value in creating policy.
Yeah, for sure. And it can be applied to so many other things. We're not just looking at the financial system, which is an obvious application, looking at population growth, looking at environmental factors, looking at energy production and consumption, all of these things, it's all equally applicable to. We just need the tools to properly measure them.
Right on. And when you think about like the energy example, you think about healthcare. I mean, just enormous opportunities with AI and healthcare. I've been reading a lot about, and now GlobalIVE is starting to build software around AI and blockchain in healthcare. And one of the most exciting opportunities around it is in the area of drug discovery. And in order for drug discovery to be effective, what happens today is big pharma, you know, runs all sorts of experiments, and it takes, as we all know, years, decades, to really discover new and effective drugs, and also to then figure out what are all the side effects and all the long-term effects that need to be considered. And Now with machine learning, we can take a human genome, we can take that genome and we can make the data highly have a high integrity by putting that genome on a blockchain, anonymized and secure on a blockchain. And then we can take that genome and we can run machine learning algorithms on it for drug discovery. And there's just a massive wave of personalized medicine coming when a machine can say, look, for this genome, this drug is going to be the right one, and this drug is not going to be the right one, instead of this sort of one size fits all approach to healthcare and the costs associated with the one size fits all approach we often take in healthcare. So I'm really excited about it. But you're absolutely right. In energy, in real estate, in manufacturing, in supply chain logistics, across all the corners of the economy, we're going to see AI improve legacy business models by reducing costs and also at the same time identify new revenue, new markets, new revenue opportunities, growth opportunities.
And that brings us to Global Live. It's kind of your baby. You raised a lot of capital. You got a lot of balls in the air. Tell us about how the company is going to take advantage of these opportunities.
Yeah, there's so much in front of us. We're focused right now on the financial services industry, healthcare, manufacturing, and supply chain logistics. And what we're doing is developing software that takes advantage of the latest breakthroughs in AI and machine learning and blockchain, and combining those to create quality data sets with the blockchain and using the latest machine learning techniques, improve existing business models in those industries. So in financial services, we're improving the ability to adjudicate loans, like we were talking about earlier. How do we lower the bad debt? How do we find out which consumers should have credit, which shouldn't? How do we make those predictions using machine learning? And how do we ensure our data set has high integrity using blockchain? And so we're partnered with, a company called Flexity Financial. They're an existing leading fintech. They have over 1 million consumers on their platform, over 900 merchants on their platform, a very significant ecosystem there that they're operating already. And we're going to bring AI to help them better adjudicate their loans. And when you look at their bad debt picture, I'm confident we can lower their bad debt 30, 40, 50 basis points. I'm confident we can help them increase their upsell loans and upsell more loans and the more merchant to help the merchants upsell more merchandise in a number of different scenarios. All of that is what Global Live is doing. Global Live is building that software using AI and blockchain. And then once we have it perfected with our partner Flexity, which is our go-to-market partner, then I'm going to license that to fintech, to financial services firms, fintechs around the world. And so we're building a software company, and it's going to have a software license revenues as well as transaction revenues, and it's all being built on AI.
Wow, amazing. It's like a whole new world. What about on the media end of things? How are you working there?
Yeah, we've got a partnership with media that I'm excited about as well. We partnered with Gregory D'Alba and Charles Theis. Gregory D'Alba was the president and COO of CNN, was the founding president of CNN. And this is back in the day when CNN was reporting on real news.
I kind of remember that almost, I think. It's so long ago. I just, I'm not sure if I even remember it, but yeah.
I don't know if any of us do at this point, Kerry. It was so long ago.
God, yeah.
And by the way, just to keep this politically agnostic,
yeah,
I mean, the other side of it is just as bad as we all know.
Horrible. The whole thing is, it's giving prostitution a really bad name.
it really is. It really is. So there's all kinds of opportunities, again, to control the integrity of data sets that are being used to publish news. So we're building a blockchain that, well, firstly, we're building an AI that's going to detect events, to break news, and then we're going to use the blockchain to memorialize and remunerate against that event, and use the so-called smart contracts and the consensus model of blockchain, which is really all about how do we have a distributed architecture and how do we control the decision-making on the distributed architecture. But we're able to properly identify an event, we're able to corroborate it with a number of other input sources, and then we're able to memorialize that on a blockchain. And ultimately, then we can create news, publish content, whether it's written or broadcast content, off of that blockchain. And it's no longer something that can be debated or disputed as fact versus fiction. It's fact, and that's going to, I think, create an opportunity to really restore just an enormous amount of integrity to the professionalism of journalism. I think most citizens, certainly myself, I mean, I believe that in that industry is needed, is necessary. We talk about freedom of the press, and we talk about the importance of that in the fabric of our constitution and anywhere in the free world, how important it is. And yet that institution and that industry has been significantly damaged in recent years, and in the name of ratings and in the name of spectacle. And so we think there's a really good opportunity to leverage AI and blockchain and just take that bias, take that politicized nature, take that garbage, frankly, all out of it. And let's just talk about facts, and let's talk about content that's built on facts. And you know what? I think there's a really good opportunity to create a new global news organization around that. And I know that's what Gregory is doing, and we're his technology partner, and we're excited to be it.
Hey, and once you get to that point where you're really concentrating on the facts, a lot of the emotional nonsense that we go through now is going to be history, hopefully. Hey, of all the businesses that you're looking at Global Live, which one is the most exciting to you? Which one do you like really, really gets your adrenaline flowing?
I like all of these, Kerry. I like what we're doing in all of these. And I think that we've been careful to select these verticals, like we've been talking about in this conversation, whether it's financial services, healthcare, manufacturing, supply chain, logistics, and media. You know, those are the five pillars of our business plan. And it sounds like we're spread out, sounds like we're doing a lot of things, but really the core AI and machine learning algorithms that we're building and the core blockchain technologies we're building really go across all these industries. So you're talking about building AI to better manage and predict payments, to predict lending, to predict the development of a blockchain for genome tracking and maintenance, like I described earlier. You're really seeing a lot of overlap between these things, that and the technologies we're building transcend a number of industries. So we're really focused on getting it into market as quickly as possible, and that's why I've formed these joint ventures in different industries, because I really want to go to market very quickly. I think this is going to be an arms race. It's very much an arms race, and there's some very big players in it, and the big technology companies in the U.S. and in China. But there's lots of room for challengers like us to capture market share if we move quickly enough.
Hey, and the great thing is the company just went public, so you got the potential to participate in this. If you want to get more information, the company website, globallive.com, GLOBALIVE.com, traded on the TSX.V, the Toronto Venture Exchange, and the symbol is LIVE, LIVE, also on the OTC pink sheets, LVVEF. Hey, Anthony, it's been great talking with you about this. We're definitely going to catch up with you in the future, see how this is working out, because these are things that you're working on that are really going to make a difference in just about everyone's life on the planet.
No question about it, Kerry. Look, I really appreciate your interest. It's early days for AI and blockchain, but it's very exciting days. So I really appreciate your interest in the early going here, and look forward to catching up with you in the future, and hope to bring you some good news next time we chat.
All right. I can't wait. And I'm sure you'll have a lot of it. Good luck. Good luck with the company and improving things that have gone on for too long that really need to be improved.
Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.